The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
All right, and welcome to Between the Synapse. I'm your host, Mark Tobin, and thank you for listening. Hey, if you enjoy the show and want to listen to some of the shows you might have missed in the past, you can check them out on my blog at BetweenTheSynapse.com. Right on the homepage, there's a section that you can listen to all the past shows at your heart's delight. So please do so. And if you have not signed up to receive notice of all the future shows, you can also do that right on the homepage as well. Just put your name and email address. Or if you don't want to put your name, you don't have to. Just put your email address and you'll receive notification of all future shows, as well as some interesting blog entries as well. So today's show is a little different. Kind of trolling the internet, see what comes up of interest, which are quite a few things, kind of just current affairs, current interest, hopefully, to us all. If you want to get in on the action, you have any questions or comments, give me a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. First topic, the Oscar nominations came out this morning, and I don't think there are any real surprises. I still don't really like the fact that they increased the number of Best Picture nominations from, 5 to 10, mostly because now it's kind of like harder to say that, hey, I've seen all the nominated films, because you have to see 10 instead of 5. But I guess they can get different kinds of films into the category that they could be for. I think it, on a previous show, we had the LA Times guy who covers the contests, and I think it was done after the Batman film, The Dark Knight, because those kinds of movies were typically not included in the best film category, action, adventure, and so on. But it was worthy of Best Picture nomination, and so they decided to expand it in order to allow films like that to be included. So for Best Picture, you got American Sniper, which I think just came out, at least in a wider run. Birdman, Boyhood, The Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Quite a few of these have just come out, either really in a wider run this month or at the end of December. I have so far only seen Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel. That came out back in the spring. The Imitation Game, that was our Christmas Day movie. And yeah, that's it. Waiting to see Boyhood on Vudu or Amazon, whatever we're going to watch it on, when we have some time. It's kind of a long movie. So I guess have a lot of work to do in order to catch up with those movies. Now, the Best Director, also not a surprise. You got Wes Anderson for Budapest Hotel, Alejandro Gonzalez, I can't even say his last name, Inarritu for Birdman, Richard Linklater for Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, Morton Tildrum for The Imitation Game, and the list go on. You know, hard for me to say without having seen so many of the pictures who I think should win. You know, I'm not going to put a name out there yet, but I will say what I find so far is the most interesting part, at least from my perspective, is the Houston connection, and that you've got two Houston-born, Houston-grown directors who are in the thick of everything, and that is Wes Anderson with The Grand Budapest Hotel and Richard Linklater with Boyhood. First of all, with Richard Linklater, by the way, it's pretty ironic. He had so many movies that took place in one day. Dazed and Confused, Slacker, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, all took place, you know, within 24 hours within the movie. And then he goes and he shoots a movie that takes place over 12 years. And that's what gets him the nomination. I haven't seen it yet, but I am looking forward to it. But both Wes Anderson and Linklater were born in Houston, and primarily raised in Houston. And I didn't know this, so I just did a little bit of research. They both have brothers who are illustrators and have each did illustrations for some of their movies. So it's an interesting connection. And I guess so. You know, if I'll be rooting for anyone in the award ceremonies, and this is the only award ceremony that I actually watch out of all of them, it will be for Anderson and Linklater, because I've been fans of them for quite some time. So we will see what happens. I did see Steve Carell in Foxcatcher. Great performance. Movie was a little slow. Benedict Cumberbatch in The Imitation Game, he was quite good. On the actresses, the only one I've seen so far is Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl, and she was very good, but I've not seen any of the other four as of yet. So don't know enough to give an opinion on that. Anyway, the college football championship game, the first playoff produced championship game, was this past Monday, and while I didn't really have a dog in the hunt, once Alabama was defeated, that was my primary objective in the entire playoff, and that there was no SEC team that was competing for the championship, I could pretty much just sit back and enjoy the game. I guess I was leaning towards Ohio State, mostly because I was impressed by the fact that they had a third-string quarterback who could come in at the end of the season and not only win the Big Ten championship game, but then win against Alabama, and now was competing in the final game. Also, I guess I had a little bit of skin in the game, and that I wrote a piece on my blog a little while ago about uniforms, and that I had done some research and discovered that any football team that changed their uniforms, that like Oregon or like a Baylor or, you know, like so many of them now do, you know, where they have a different uniform, not just home and away, but multiple kinds of uniforms, had never won a national title while they were doing so. Meaning they might have won a national title when they kept their traditional uniform, but if they had moved towards a team that switched uniforms on a regular basis, they had not won it. And, you know, I look back at all the teams that had won national titles, whether through the BCS or through you know, the being voted through the UPI or AP, and no team that was a non-traditional uniform wearer had ever won it, and it it looked like Oregon really had a good chance of being the first team to do that. However, Ohio State, being the traditional powerhouse and bearer of tradition that they are, was able to prevail and keep that theory going. So, I don't know what it means, other than something to consider. You know, teams like Texas and Alabama and Florida, you know, and some of the others that just have their basic home and away, so far would be in a better position, according to my theory at least, to win a national title than the ones that keep changing uniforms. Maybe it's just one less thing to think about when they're playing the game. Bottom line, it was a terrific success and something that anybody that was a proponent of the playoff system knew it would be. Why it took so long to get there is still, you know, a mystery. I think that people would still like to see an 8-game playoff. Whether that happens anytime soon, I don't know. It took them how long to get rid of the BCS format? Something like 18 years, something like that. So we'll see what happens. But this format was certainly better than the BCS. I think everyone would agree with that. So we have turned the page on 2014, and that brings us to 2015, which means we are 1 year away from 2016. Thus, it means we are a year away from a presidential election. And not only a presidential election, but it means that it is a presidential election where we will undoubtedly have a new president, as President Obama will have served his two terms. And so both parties will be nominating a new person to run for president. And so the air is thick with people on both parties who are considering a run, who are being mentioned to run for president. And this is the time where they pretty much have to make a decision over the next couple months because, A, the people that they raise the early money from are going to start committing. B, the staff that they need to hire are going to start committing to various campaigns. And if they don't move fairly quickly to start seriously running and getting that the money as well as the personnel, as well as becoming publicly known as a candidate, time's going to fly by and they're not going to be in the position to make a run, even though the election is 2 years away. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to go over the potential candidates on both the Republican and Democratic side and talk about one candidate in particular who is trying a very novel approach to women's issues. We'll get to that in just a couple minutes on Between the Synapse.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ah, a nice glass of wine is very refreshing after the end of a long day. But have you ever considered the story behind the wine? Tune in to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. with your hosts, Roger and Donna Beery. You'll meet some of the people behind the world's wineries, travel the wine country, and learn more about that glass that you're enjoying. Roger and Donna will also give would-be vintners a behind-the-scenes look at starting a winery. Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio airs live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Variety. What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Between the Synapse. I'm your host, Mark Tobin. We are trolling the internet for what's interesting, hopefully, and current. We talked about the national championship game in college football. We talked about the Oscar nominations, and now we're going to talk a little politics. There are a number of potential candidates for the Republican nomination for president, and at some point that is going to narrow fairly quickly, but right now it's still pretty wide open. There is one official candidate, as far as I understand, for the Republican nomination, and it's probably not anybody that you ever heard of. His name is Jack Failure, if I'm pronouncing it correct. He's a retired engineer and a perennial candidate from West Virginia. He has filed his FEC papers to run as a candidate. He is a in 2012, he was a member of the Prohibition Party nominee. He was a nominee for the Prohibition Party, I should say, for the presidential election. And yes, the Prohibition Party is exactly what you think it is. They want basically to reactivate Prohibition. So Jack is in, and this time he is seeking the Republican nominee, having moved on from the Prohibition Party. Now, Jeb Bush, the former governor of Florida and son and brother of presidents, has formed an exploratory committee as well as a PAC, and he obviously is seriously exploring a presidential bid. He's resigned from all nonprofit boards and so on. And he is looking more and more like a potential candidate. Now, a number of other people have expressed interest, some more than others. I'm just going to go down the list. You've got, Michelle Bachmann, who is still listed as interested. You've got John Bolton, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. You've got Ben Carson, who is very, very close to being in. He is an author and retired director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital. very noteworthy positions. I'm not sure how he makes the translation to president, however. Then you've got Chris Cowboy Christie, the current governor of New Jersey and honorary mayor of Arlington, Texas. He I think, is for sure going to be running. Bob Corker, a U.S. senator from Tennessee, is a potential candidate. Ted Cruz from my home state, a U.S. senator since 2013. Prior to that, he was a solicitor general of the state of Texas. He is widely considered as a candidate. Bob Ehrlich, the former governor of Maryland and former member of the U.S. House of Representatives, is someone whose name keeps popping up. Carly Farini, a former business executive and nominee for the U.S. Senate from California, is mentioned, although she never held office because she lost in the election, is being mentioned as a presidential candidate. Then you've got Jim Gilmore, the former governor of Virginia and former chairman of the Republican National Committee. Lindsey Graham, many of you know him. He is the U.S. Senator from South Carolina, very engaged in U.S. foreign affairs. You've got Bobby Jindal, who has been very active on the national scene. He is the current governor of Louisiana. Peter King, U.S. Representative from New York. Also from New York is George Pataki, governor of New York from 95 to 2006. Always mentioned is former vice presidential candidate and former governor of Alaska, yours truly, Sarah Palin. Rand Paul is very seriously mentioned as a candidate, and most think he will run. He is the current U.S. Senator from Kentucky since 2001. Then you've got Mike Pence, governor of Indiana since 2013. Before that, he served in the U.S. House of Representatives. Then, of course, you have former Texas governor Rick Perry, who ran in 2012 and is most certainly going to be running again. Now you also have potentially, Rick Santorum, former senator from Pennsylvania, Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin. Donald Trump's name keeps being mentioned. I don't know why. You've got Mitch Daniels, president of Purdue, former governor of Indiana, John Kasich, governor of Ohio, Herman Cain. Y'all remember Herman Cain. And just recently, Mitt Romney, the Republican candidate in 2012, has indicated that he is going to run, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, talk show host, author, looks like he's going to make a run. I'll talk about him in a minute as well. So why all of a sudden is Mitt Romney talking about running? Well, let's just look at a recent poll in Iowa, and I think you'll find this interesting. Let me just bring this up. Because, and I'm just wondering if this is just giving false hope to Mitt, or if this is something that we'll carry through. The polling that has been done recently in Iowa really, hasn't included all the names that I mentioned. The ones that have been included have been Mitt Romney, Ben Carson, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Rand Paul, and Huckabee. In recent polling, Mitt Romney in Iowa has polled quite well. ahead of the others, around, you know, between 19-21%, depending upon the poll, while the next closest person was Jeb Bush with 10%. And so I think, you know, he's probably looking at this. He's looking at the fact that no one has emerged as a clear, you know, front runner or front runners in this, and he sees that he has an opportunity to come in, develop once again his structure, organization, and come in and become the nominee. This time, running a campaign which is more directed, quote, at the people, and not at at a limited group of people. So we'll see. As I said, this is a very limited poll with just a few people involved, and I'm not sure that this isn't something that is giving him false hope, that is just really based on kind of name recognition at this point, and familiarity even more so. So we will see. Now, I talked about Huckabee earlier. Governor Huckabee. He recently made the news. He has a new book out. The new book is called God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy. Now, he left out Gas, Geezer, and Gutless, which probably should be the title of the book. He made news because in the book, he criticizes the Obamas for allowing their daughters to listen to Beyonce, not necessarily because she's a bad artist. And, you know, he says that you know, she's a great singer and dancer, but that some of the lyrics and dance moves should be reserved for the bedroom. He just doesn't understand that how parents who, you know, talk so much about how they should, you know, eat right and do these other things, allow their daughters to listen to such unsuitable music, and basically went on to say that Jay-Z is nothing more than Beyonce's pimp. This is a continuation. First of all, you know, I'm not a huge Beyonce fan. I mean, I have nothing against her music, but it's just, you know, not my deal. But you know, she's also from Houston, so I'm going to take extra offense at that. But this is kind of, you know, more of what Huckabee is attempting to do, which is reverse this, you know, this quote, Republican war on women that you know, Democrats have tried to label on Republicans. And, you know, it started, he's been doing this for a while. And so, you know, about a year ago, he gave a speech where he said that, he believed that, Americans were making women believe that they were helpless without a sugar daddy coming in and providing them with a prescription each month for birth control, because they cannot control their own libido and their reproductive system without the help of the government. You know, I suspect that behind closed doors, Huckabee becomes a, you know, pimp daddy Huck, who controls his bitches by denying them decent music and access to birth control. You know, he thinks himself clever by attempting to turn the Republican war on women into the attack on the Democratic welfare state. But he forgets that a pimp is a pimp, you know, whether he prostitutes women or enslaves them. And, you know, whatever his motivations are, his public comments are nothing more than truly disgusting. We'll be right back on Between the Synapse.
Yeah.
stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join host Gary Ray as he shows what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Women can live their lives to the fullest and realize their dreams for growth and greatness. Georgine Summers knows. As host of On the Edge, Georgine will give you powerful tools and rules to help you change direction in your life and get rid of the fears that stop you from living your dreams. Stretch your boundaries and become the amazing person you've always wanted to be. On the Edge with Georgine Summers airs live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. And welcome back to Between the Synapse. We're trolling the internet today, talking about all sorts of stuff, ranging from politics to college football to the Oscars. If you want to get in on the action, you got any ideas on what we can talk about, please chime in. Just give me a call at 866-472-5788 or Twitter at Between T Synapse. That's Between T Synapse. So we're talking about the presidential election. After all, we are 2 years away, so we need to start now. We talked about the Republican side. And now let's talk about the Democratic side, which, by all accounts, isn't quite as open, which we'll talk about in a second. But let's kind of go through the Democrats. There are actually apparently three formally declared Democratic candidates, and they're all quite interesting. We've got Jeffrey Boss. He is described as a conspiracy theorist and perennial candidate. He's from New Jersey. Wonder if he knows the governor. Then you've got, this can't be his real name, or birth name at least, Vermin Supreme. He's a performance artist and perennial candidate from Massachusetts. And then you got Robbie Wells. He's a former head football coach at Savannah State University. He ran in 2012 as a nominee of the Constitution Party, and this time he is going to seek the Democratic nomination. So all three of those are declared. Vermin Supreme has the most interesting picture, I got to say. Now let's talk about potential candidates. Jim Webb, U.S. Senator from Virginia, former U.S. Senator from Virginia, and U.S. Secretary of the Navy, has formed an exploratory committee. You know, the exploratory committee is not really what it sounds like. It's not like in the old days, you know, with like Marco Polo or any of the other guys. It's like, you know, we want to go explore, you know, the new country or something like that. It's not that kind of, you know, exploration. They don't have to cross oceans or unknown territories and face, you know, ravaging winters or things like that. It does cost a lot of money, granted, but it's very, very different than the old kinds of exploratory committees from centuries back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Museums are great places to work and wonderful places to visit. But are they essential? How can we improve our museum practice so that museums remain vital and essential players in society? Listen for Museum Life with host Carol Bossert, where each week we'll discuss timely and topical issues of concern to the museum community. Museum Life can be heard live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Join Dr. Linda Iniguez every week for the Shrink Wrap Forum. This show discusses topics that you wouldn't normally hear in today's media. In the forum, virtually no topic is off limits. We invite you to join us and participate or dive into the stream where we value independent thought, talk to those people that are making a difference, and explore ideas considered outside the box. The Shrink Wrap Forum can be heard live every Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling, whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
For 27 years, KidStar has empowered thousands of kids across the country.
And now we have the opportunity to empower children around the world.
KidStar is announcing a new radio show called Voyage Earth.
Voyage Earth will empower kids from across the world.
KidStar has created a Kickstarter campaign just for this new undertaking. By pledging to Kickstarter, you pledge for a future of empowered people to come.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworms. I want to thank you for being a backer of our Kickstarter.
Kidstar, we empower kids.
Hi, I'm Sam Nussbaum, WellPoint's Chief Medical Officer. We proudly support the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together to provide children with a healthier start in life. Visit marchofdimes.org.
stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, we are back, I think, and I hope. Sorry for that abrupt conclusion there before the commercial. Had a little bit of a technical snafu, but I think that we're good. If I go away, please know that it was not on purpose. So listen, we're talking about potential Democratic nominees for the president. And we're talking about Jim Webb, who formed an exploratory committee. It's not the kind that requires travel, but does require a lot of money. There are a number who have publicly expressed interest. Vice President Joe Biden, who, of course, has run for president before. Howard Dean, who is the former governor of Vermont and also had run for president before. Luis Gutierrez, who is a U.S. representative from from Illinois, from the Chicago area. Joe Manchin, U.S. Senator from West Virginia. Martin O'Malley, governor of Maryland. Ed Rendell, who had been mentioned for president before, as well as vice president, as former governor of Pennsylvania. Bernie Sanders, he is an independent. He's a U.S. Senator from Vermont, though he caucuses with the Democrats. And Brian Schweitzer, who is a former governor of Montana. And these people, I guess, are mentioned also as potential candidates, though nothing serious has emanated so far. Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. Steve Bullock, governor of Montana. George Clooney, I don't know the seriousness of that. Al Franken, U.S. Senator from Minnesota and former comic. Russ Feingold, former Wisconsin Senator. Andrew Cuomo, current governor of New York. Amy Klobuchar, Minnesota Senator. Janet Neapolitano, Maggie Hansen, governor of New Hampshire for the last couple of years. Anyway, those are just a few. Oh, wait. Oh, I forgot one. Hillary Rodham Clinton. Yes. She is listed under someone who has publicly expressed interest. Most people do believe she's going to run and probably announce sometime fairly soon. So now let's look at some recent polling data about the potential nomination for Hillary. Let's just look at Iowa, for example. And these are averages of various polls. This is from October. Clinton with almost 60%, Biden with 10%, Warren with, who's said she's not running, by the way, now, with 10%, Sanders with 4, Cuomo with 2+, O'Malley with 1.4, and so on. Then you look at, New Hampshire, pretty much the same. Warren was a little bit higher. Once again, this is before she said she wasn't running. It's closer to her home state, but Clinton still with 56.4%. And then nationally, by the way, Clinton still is over 60%. The next highest person is Warren, and then Biden with 9.8. So, presuming Hillary does get in the race, it's going to be a much different primary unless something dramatically changes, than on the Republican side. So we will see over the next 6 weeks, 2 months, who's in, who's out, and we'll be following it closely on Between the Synapse. Now, for something completely different, I will be posting this on my blog, but for those of you who like dogs, bulldogs in particular, both Butler and Georgetown have bulldogs for mascots, and they were playing each other, and the two bulldogs had a play date before the game, you know, I guess it would be under the category of adorable. So I'll have that link from SB Nation up fairly soon, and you can check it out, where the two bulldogs had met for drinks and all sorts of good stuff. It's quite humorous. Next, starting Friday, the U.S. will ease travel restrictions with Cuba. So now up to 12 people will be allowed on those small wooden rafts. No, not really. It will be much more extensive than that. But I think the biggest news for people is that you can bring back up to $400 in souvenirs, including up to $100 in alcohol or tobacco. Get that? Up to $100 in tobacco. So Cuban cigars, they're back, baby. They're back. Up to $100. I don't know what that gets you, but you can now do it without being arrested. All right. Now, before we close the show, I would be remiss without talking about the events in France. And I don't want to talk about every element of that, but I do want to talk about a couple things. The first is there's one story that was out there, and I was a little surprised it did not get more attention. So we're talking about the terrorist attacks in France, and the one story that did not get nearly as much attention that I thought is that the reporter who visited the neighbors of the brothers found that the neighbors were actually suspicious, and they'd heard them loudly reciting the Quran and some other kinds of strange goings on. So when the brothers went to the market, they actually went inside the apartment, and they found all these arms and rifles and such. However, the brothers came back and caught them in the apartment. They pushed them around, shoved them around, and threatened them into silence, and said, you know, that they, you know, got their prompts, they wouldn't go to the police. And that was 2 months before the attack. And so, you know, they kept their silence. And obviously, had they not, you know, we know the consequences of what might have happened. One of the other pieces in the article that I found, you know, pretty disturbing was that they asked one of the leaders in this community where they lived as to why the neighbors wouldn't, you know, were afraid to go to the police, beside the issue of the obvious threats. And, you know, the leader of the community said, well, you know, it's the French culture that, you know, that allows the kind of offensive, you know, cartoons of Charlie Hebdo, which make them fearful. And, you know, this was not a person who supported the attacks. And my point in bringing this up is, while there was almost universal condemnation of the terrorist attacks in France, and broadly within Muslim communities, there was also this one element of, you know, kind of the yes, but, you know, it's, I am against the terrorist attack, but, you know, Charlie Hebdo was offensive. You know, it's sort of the same as, you know, when people suffer under Sharia law, you know, yes, that punishment is way too harsh, but yeah, you know, she did commit adultery, or she was wearing inappropriate clothing, or, for example, the journalist in Saudi Arabia who is suffering public lashings, you know, that is unfair, but he did write negative things about the prophet. Yes, you know, they shouldn't be conducting these, you know, suicide bombings. However, you know, the U.S., you know, shouldn't be meddling in the Middle East, or, you know, Israel shouldn't be persecuting the Palestinians. It's always this yes, but. And, you know, I heard a CNN interview, and it was, it really was a terrible, terrible interview. Don Lemon performed an interview. It was with Arsalan Iftikhar. He was a Muslim civil rights lawyer. And Lemon asked about a poll that said that 16% of French citizens support the Middle Eastern terrorist group known as Islamic State. Iftikhar answered that disenfranchised Muslim populations may sympathize with radicals but not necessarily predisposed to violence, which, you know, is saying, like, yeah, you know, we sympathize with the Ku Klux Klan, but we don't sympathize with the lynchings. And women, instead of pressing on that part, basically said, you know, to this civil rights lawyer who clearly was not supportive of ISIS and knew that by his actions, said, you know, do you support ISIS? And then there's this whole Twitter deal where the lawyer just took off on Lemon, and you know, that became the issue of the interview, as opposed to the fact that the 16% who voiced support for ISIS were basically excused instead. And it's similar to the interview on Jon Stewart with President Carter, when Jon Stewart asked, so, you know, what's the source of extremism? And the first thing Carter said was, you know, it's basically the way that the Israelis treat the Palestinians. Jon Stewart himself didn't really understand the issue, because he said, well, you know, it's the fact that people are poor, and it's nihilistic, and they're frustrated, which, of course, if that were the case, there'd be terrorism in every single corner of the globe all the time. Clearly, there's something more to it that produces terrorism in this certain part of the globe. Terrorism will end when the buts end, when there's no justification or explanation for terrorism. And until then, we're still going to have this issue. I want to thank my Voice America team, my producer Winston Price. Thanks to my engineer Kevin. Download the podcast for this and future shows at Between the Synapse. Thanks for listening. Join me next week on Between the Synapse.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.